Flip, 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 flip. Flip Weekly!
Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Matt from FlipWeekly.com. You're listening to the Flip Weekly podcast. It's a podcast all about reselling, going to thrift stores and getting harassed at thrift stores, going to garage sales, finding items to flip. Now, last week, you would know that I had a sit down with Yahoo News. We talked about op shop prices within Australia. We referenced a TikTok video that I put out talking about a Vinnie's that sold a Harry Potter book or was trying to sell a Harry Potter book for close to $1,000. The article's out now. You can go to Yahoo News and check it out. Or you can go on, how else can you find it? Maybe just Google Yahoo News Vinnie's and it is one of the top results. It got a lot of engagement. If you're new here because of that article, welcome. But was it a good idea to be doing this interview? Because, look, I said getting harassed at thrift stores. Man, I was at a Salvo's the other day and minding my own business, going through the clothing racks, men's clothing racks, AirPods in, and I can hear somebody come up to me, you know, excuse me. I took my AirPod out and I'm thinking, you know, maybe she needs help getting something down from a higher shelf. She was a short lady. Sometimes happens when you're out in public. And she said to me, "We don't allow filming in here, just letting you know." And I was sort of like perplexed. I sort of like looked around, sort of looked at my hands thinking, do I have my phone out? Am I recording? And then I was thinking like, do I have those Meta AI glasses that, you know, you can record with? And I'm thinking, I don't even own a pair of them. Why am I thinking that I'm recording with those? And I'm like, okay. And she says, it's just that there's been some TikToks. Oh, it took me a second to piece it all together. And, you know, she started to walk away. And I'm thinking, oh shit, they must be, you know, referring to the video I filmed at a Salvo's where they were selling fake Pokemon cards. And I went up to the counter and asked if they were selling fake Pokemon cards. And they were basically like, we don't know, but we're pretty sure they're fake. I posted that on TikTok and Instagram. But she said TikToks, which I thought was unusual because I only made the one TikTok about Salvo's and you know, that was over a month ago. So is she referencing the Vinnie's video? I don't know. I'm not in any of those videos. I make it sure that I'm not present in those videos. I don't want anyone to see, you know, who's behind the camera. Did a memo go out saying that, like, if a generic white dude comes into the store, they're to be told not to film? Maybe there was, like, a CCTV still that was passed along to each store of me in the Salvo's. They would have had to go back and find the exact date and time that I was there. I just thought that was really weird, you know, like they might have looked up my name and found a photo, but I make it a point to use old photos when I'm referencing this website or if it's going to this newsletter or this podcast, if it's going online, because I don't want people to, you know, see me. So I thought that was really, really weird. Like, is Vinny's talking to Salvo saying, look, you know, we don't usually get along, but we need to work together. We do not want people putting out information about us selling, like, fake shit. Or there's this guy going around Sydney that's putting us on blast because we're doing sort of dodgy things. So, yeah, that was sort of a bit weird. And I'm thinking, like, if I film into Salvo's again, am I going to get banned? Like, can you get banned from a Salvo's? And the next thing I did was I went on TikTok and I just typed in Salvo's and I could see, you know, thousands of videos of people recording in Salvo's. So I guess it's if you're putting them on blast or if you're talking negative about them, you're not allowed to film. But if you're doing a regular thrift haul or if you're trying on clothes and not calling them out for selling fake Pokemon cards, making money off that, then you're completely fine. But yeah, sort of weird. I'm thinking, should I go into a few more Salvo's and see if they're going to come up and talk to me? Like if they've sent out some sort of memo and it's gone to all Sydney Salvo stores, then I'm going to get approached at each of them, because the one that I went to that called me out was, you know, it was like 30 minutes away from the one that I filmed in. So yeah, it's sort of weird. It's put me a bit on edge now thinking going into Salvo's if I'm going to get, you know, talking to by the staff, I'm going to get reprimanded. I'll feel like I'm fucking 5 years old again. You can't film in here. Man, you should have seen my face. Like I was like, okay, I'm not fucking filming. But yeah, if I do film again and I get banned, the funny thing is, like, it would be good to actually film that interaction to see how that goes. But yeah, I guess that's a bit of a warning to everyone. If you're going to point out items in a thrift store that people shouldn't be buying or aren't legit, maybe not talk about it on social media unless you want a short lady coming up to you saying not to film despite not filming. But that's okay. That didn't ruin our week because we still had a massive week. I think I had almost $2,000 in sales. I don't know why it's the middle of the week. You know, people usually get paid at like the beginning of the end of the month, right? Or I don't know, if you get paid fortnightly, maybe it's the end of the fortnight. But a huge amount of sales and huge amount of items that I found in the thrift store too. Ironically, nothing in that Salvo's that I was approached at. But yeah, weird. But I've got a big one for you. Later on, I'm going to go through, not individually, but I'm going to go through some of the nostalgic TV shows from when we were kids. Well, when we were kids. Everyone here listening is born in the 90s, but I went through so many fucking titles. I scraped data from IMDb, almost getting fucking banned from there, getting my IP blacklisted from there. But we're going to go through all those. It's to help you out when you go into the thrift to make sure you're picking up items that are going to be selling or going to be worth like a lot of money. It's sort of crazy to see really popular titles that sell for nothing, and then it's supply and demand, right? But we're going to go through that later. I'm going to go into secondhand opinions, man. I'm going to talk to you about some of the sales, but for now, let's get straight into what I bought. I've had insane luck for some reason at Savers lately. I think it was from 2 weeks ago when I was saying I haven't had any luck there. The staff, kudos to them. I feel I'm way too good at their job where they're making life harder for us resellers. We just have to keep looking and try and, outsmart them. When I say outsmart the thrift store employees, by the way, it's not a slight. It's genuinely, I see it as like a sort of a battle between them and us. You know, we're trying to find items that slip through the cracks, and they're really good at their job at Savers. We just have to be a tiny bit better, or we have to just get lucky. And that's what I think happened this week. We walked into a Savers. We found three DVDs for $5 each, all part of the one set, and we're leaving the store knowing that they're worth at least $200. It sounds too good to be true, but I'm here to tell you that the DVD category, it's entirely possible to make like $200 from just a couple of DVDs. This DVD set that I picked up sort of inspired me to go on this crusade of listing out like over 190s television shows. But I found season 1 to 5 of the X-Men animated TV series from 1992. It came in three different discs, and this sort of TV show, I looked online, I did some research, and it was remembered for character depth and sort of these complicated, daring themes that weren't really present in other Saturday morning cartoons. It's still popular to this day with fans, and they go back and rewatch it. It's had a few different releases over the past, you know, 20 years. Some of them with like slip cases, and they can go up to like close to $300, man. Like this one that I got, the 5 seasons broken up into 3 DVDs, priced at $4.99, listed up for just under $200. I think it was like $180 or $190. And just by looking at them, I had a feeling they might be worth a bit of money, but I wasn't expecting to see the sold comps like $225, $250. The reason they're worth a bit of money, like fans have talked about wanting to watch like the authentic experience of the show. So that means the original voice actors, because later on in the DVDs, in later series, later releases, they were redubbed, and they also changed up the aspect ratio and changed up some of the, you know, continuity errors, as well as like episode release order. For some reason, fans just love seeing like the original out of order like episodes, which is unusual. But yeah, there's one particular release of the DVD which is worth double. It's worth like close to over $400. And everyone that lists it up is talking about the slipcases. And, you know, if you find this show on DVD with those slipcases, yeah, $400 easily. So this one, yeah, three DVDs, $200. We spent $15 in that Savers. And, you know, my advice to you, if you find this show on DVD at a thrift store or garage sale, you just need to pick it up. You're going to make money regardless of which release it is. And it's sort of like the same with any sort of old animated kids show. Like, if they're on DVD as a complete series, it's at least worth looking into. And like I said before, I'm going to go into all of them a bit later. You won't believe, and I know this sounds clickbaity, but you will not believe one television show that you will remember that has only 3 seasons sold, even though the show went for, I don't know, like 10 years, and it's like $1,500, and I guarantee you know the show. But we leave Savers, and we go to a Salvo's. This is before I was reprimanded. This was a different Salvo's. Has some good stuff in there. They really shrunk the store. I'm not going to out the store, but they shrunk the store, and it seems to be a habit with these thrift stores. They're removing like floor space from for their inventory, and they're replacing with, like, I don't know, office space or like break rooms or snack rooms for the staff. It's really unusual. They're just reducing their inventory. But yeah, when I was in this Salvo's, there's nothing that really bores me more than reselling clothes. There aren't many that get me excited. I'll never be buying, you know, your standard jeans, Levi jeans, or your polo shirts that, I don't know, they have, what's that fucking brand with the dude on the horse swinging the golf club? What's that fucking brand? I don't know. I'll never be buying that generic shit. There's just the endless racks of clothes. I can think of nothing I would rather not do. Is that a double negative? Anyway, I know there's value in some of those brands, especially if they're vintage, but if I see those polo shirts next to each other, I'm probably going to skip over them. But this week, I didn't, because I spotted something that had, you know, sporting colors, and sports jerseys are something I love to pick up. The reason being is it's like gambling, man. It just feeds that gambling itch within me where you find it, and if you can tell it's old, you're like, oh shit, this is either going to be like 100, 200, 300, maybe even more. It just is so exciting. So when I found this one, I could tell it was old. It was red, blue, and white. It had an old Reebok tag on it. $10 from Salvo's. It had the original price tag, cardboard tag attached to it too. And I could see why it would get passed over as like a standard polo shirt, because it had HKRFU as like a little symbol on it, which it could look like anything. But on the right-hand side has Cathay Pacific Hong Kong Invitation Sevens. Now, I know, as a fan of reselling rugby shit, not a fan of rugby, reselling rugby shit, that's a rugby jersey. And it's a Hong Kong Rugby Football Union jersey. I think that's what the HKRFU stands for. And yeah, like I said, just by looking at that Reebok tag, I could tell this thing was old, but it was in perfect condition, not a single stain on it. Unusual for the clothing racks at a Salvo's, but I was like, I'm gonna buy this. It's only $10. This particular Salvo's, and if you live in Sydney, if you live around me, do not ever come and visit, but this particular Salvo's has a really bad like 4G, 5G issue where you cannot get reception inside of it. It fucking sucks when you're trying to look up comps. You just have to go with your gut. I went with my gut with this purchase, and you know, as soon as you're out of there, you're looking up comms, you're like, fuck, here we go, let's see what it is. And so check on eBay, no active listings. I check sold listings, no sold listings. So that sort of makes me doubt it a bit, thinking, oh, maybe it's like a bootleg. But then I use Google Lens on it. I was able to find this website called Underdog Rugby. This website is all about showcasing and selling rare, used, and vintage rugby jumpers. And they had 3 of these Hong Kong National Rugby Sevens jerseys. They showed me that it was from 1990. So this thing is fucking older than me, in better condition. And they had 3 active, 1 sold. The 1 sold was $276. The 3 active went all the way up to $331. Those prices are crazy high, but it honestly doesn't surprise me. Like, you've seen in the past how much we've been able to make selling sports jerseys. And even if you're not a sports fan, you can profit off of this. I've had, you know, countless messages on social media with similar sort of fines from people who may not even watch sport. I'm not sure, but it's just a matter of noticing the pattern. So if you thought you'd never be able to find them, you need to think again. It was only in June that I had a message from a woman named Sophie, and you can follow her on Instagram, flippin_mad. She asked about a Sydney Roosters jersey. She was like, can you help me out with this? Sent through a photo, and were able to work out that it was a 2017 Sydney Roosters jersey. But not only that, we're able to see the GPS pouch, which I've talked about before, in the back of it. Now, she listed that she had no idea really what it was, except that it's a sports jersey. She didn't know what the GPS pouch was about. And literally yesterday, it went on to sell. $175 plus post. So if you don't think you can do it, honestly, just go out there and start looking for these jerseys. Look for any sort of, just when you're looking at sport, looking for sports jerseys, you're looking at colors that really don't belong on shirts. You have some sports teams with like hideous color schemes, and you think like you're looking through the racks and you're like, well, who on earth would wear like a bright green t-shirt? Or and you just think, oh, this is obviously could be like a Canberra Raiders jersey. They have green on their jersey. It's just that simple. It really is. So back to this jersey, what I was most excited about, what this jersey had that the others listed on Underdog Rugby didn't have, was the original tag, plus it was in perfect condition. I don't think it had ever been worn. I could have put it up for $400 and beat out everyone else that was listing for that, you know, that $300 mark, just because I had the best one, the mint condition one. But no, I listed up for $200 on eBay, and I think it's going to sell quickly. By the way, if you want to check out two other insane jersey finds this week, go on to Retro Rescuers Instagram account. They found like these two jerseys. One was like this vintage Australia New Zealand Anzac jersey, and another one was like this Sydney Roosters jersey. They were easily worth like $200 each. I think he auctioned off one of them on Whatnot, and it reached like just under $200, I think. But yeah, these op shops are filled with crazy jersey finds. My best one has been like the $500 Canberra Raiders jersey from I think 1997. And I know this is a lot of jersey talk, but it's so lucrative. It's just, look in the men's rack, man. I don't know what else to say. If you like making money on like a $5, $10 shirt, turning it into hundreds of dollars, then go look in your local thrift store in the men's section. Just please stay away from the ones that I go to. I don't want to share. Now, the next two items are a bit of a throwback. And when you think about it, it really isn't that surprising to see these items sitting on a Vinnie shelf. They're untouched for half the day, and I'm going to tell you what they are. But first, I'm going to explain why they were most likely untouched. A huge, huge percentage of resellers, they're refreshing Facebook Marketplace and then looking for like video games. You know, video games are the most popular item to resell. And when they're on Facebook Marketplace, they're working, you know, so incredibly fast to secure those items. Like, it happened to me on Saturday, man. Like, I was doing the exact same. I was sitting at home and I was like, well, what am I going to do? Let's open Facebook Marketplace. And I saw, it was late at night actually, I saw this amazing Nintendo GameCube lot come up, and it included like the console, 5 games and 4 controllers at a listed price for $150. I could see all 5 games in the bag, and I thought, holy shit, this is like such a good score. I could see that it was around 20 minutes away from me, and I hesitated for just a second. I did my usual looks to make sure it wasn't a scam. I quickly looked at the seller's profile, I quickly looked at the location, and then I sent my message, and 30 seconds later the seller messaged me back saying it was sold. This wasn't a message to the seller like 30 minutes after it had gone live, or an hour. It said, and I'm not kidding, listed under 2 minutes ago. So these Facebook Marketplace people finding video games, they work so fucking quickly. Like, I could not believe that it had sold in under 2 minutes. It makes sense because the games in this lot were really, really good. There was one which was The Legend of Zelda on Nintendo GameCube. The game was Twilight Princess, and this game alone sells for $300 every single day of the week. And the lot for everything was like $150. So you would have been making like maybe $600-700 for this entire lot. But back to what I found, these video games, they're incredibly competitive. But what I found untouched for half the day were cassette tapes. The two that I found were actually The Wiggles' first and second ever recorded albums. Both were in working condition, and the J card, which is the paper that's inside of the tapes, they were signed by Anthony, which is the Blue Wiggle, and he's still with the Wiggles today. Now, that first cassette tape, it was self-titled, just called The Wiggles. It featured the fifth Wiggle. Now, if you didn't know there was a fifth Wiggle, yes, there was a fifth Wiggle. It was funny though, like the Vinny sticker, I paid $9 for these, by the way, for both of them. The Vinny sticker was over the fifth Wiggle's face. So I decided to make a video about it, jump onto social media, and you can see who the fifth Wiggle originally was. And the other cassette tape was the Wiggle's Here Comes a Song. So yeah, the first studio album and the second studio album. I showed my mum and she was like, fuck, they look young. They look so young here. I think it was back in 91 or 92. What I found funny about these tapes though, like I said, they were signed. They were inscribed. In the first one, it said, to all the kids, love Anthony. So yeah, he said, to all the kids, love Anthony. on the second one though, it said, to Lachlan, Elise, Angelica, Zoe, Emily, Vivian, Ellen. Keep on wiggling, or wiggle on, Anthony. I could just picture the mum just saying to Anthony, like, can you please sign our tapes? And he's like, yeah, sure. And he writes out to all the kids. And the mum's like, can you actually write out their fucking names? And he's like, oh, for fuck's sake. To Lachlan, Elise, Angelica, blah, blah, blah. Now, I'll always prefer like a plain signature over a personalized inscription, but you know, sometimes an inscription like to all the kids, it can be good. Like it might even be better than a signature because it shows a bit of personality, and that by itself can be valuable. I have for sale right now a book by Jordan Belfort, who was the Wolf of Wall Street. And there's an inscription in there saying, call me when you make your first billion. That inscription is really fucking cool because it shows his personality. It's sort of like a reference to his business and like wealth creation, and that's what the people buying these books like. So the inscriptions can be good. The fact that one of them was written out to Lachlan, Elise, Angelica, Zoe, Emily, Vivian, Ellen, it's going to be a bit hard to sell, I think, but both of these tapes by themselves, they're easily worth like $75 each. So I've put them up for $100. That would be good to sell two tapes that I paid $9 for total, so $4.50 each, and I'll get about $100 for them. Now, something about the Wiggles fandom that just love everything they do and they pick them up. They pick up everything that they sell. I've had a conversation before with somebody that bought one of my Wiggles items, and they said that they had a son that wanted to collect every single thing that the Wiggles put out, which I thought, like, at the time I'm thinking, fucking hell, good luck. But I don't know. Is it possible? Maybe. But yeah, these tapes, pretty cool. I love that they're signed, and I love that they're going to make me like $100 each. And another thing that I really love about this, and it's like a self-pat on the back. No one else is going to pat us on the back. I'm going to pat myself on the back. The first album, the first titled self-titled album, The Wiggles, it's actually catalogued in the Powerhouse Collection. Now, I love the Powerhouse Collection, or I love finding items that are catalogued in the Powerhouse Collection, because it means you're finding popular, rare items. Like, the Powerhouse Collection is a custodian to more than 500,000 objects of national and international significance. Now, this is the third time I've found an item in a thrift store that's been featured in this collection. The first item was I think it was like a 1900s board game, like a military board game. And the second one was a Sydney 2000 Olympics piece of memorabilia. Now, both of those items sold pretty quickly. So I think the trend will continue here with this Wiggles cassette tape. But yeah, it's just honestly so fucking cool to be finding these items. Like I said, I didn't want to be finding a pair of Levi's jeans or a man playing polo on a polo t-shirt. I want to be finding shit that's literally catalogued in what is like an online museum, or I don't even know, is this a physical museum? Is a Powerhouse Collection a physical museum? Fucked if I know, but I love finding items like this. It just shows that we're spotting and we're finding unique and have national and international significance. Like, what the fuck? Who would have thought you could just go into a thrift store and find items like that? So yeah, listed both up for $99.95 each. They're higher than the sold in existing comps just because of the signature. And they've already gotten like a shit ton of attention on eBay. So I think they will sell really quickly, and I'll let you know if they do. But let's move on to what I sold, because I'm really excited to get through this so I can tell you all about the 90s television shows. Now, what did I sell? We're going to get the laughs out of the way early. You would know that last week I went to a Facebook Marketplace deal and it didn't go very well. I found this Thomas and Friends playset on Marketplace for $25. I could see comps online for this really rare Talkin' Action Magic Rail set for like $300-$400, and I messaged this lady and I asked if it was available. She said yes. I asked if all the major pieces were there. She said, oh, I think so. I went and got it. Drove, you know, a bit out of the way. Here I am thinking I'm going to buy something for $25 and flip it into $300. I get it home, I'm taking it out, and what do you know? There's one piece missing, and it is the most valuable fucking piece of this entire set. It was actually Thomas the Train. Funny to think that after all these years, all the smaller pieces, all the tracks, all like the little tree pieces, they were all there, but the fucking Thomas Train wasn't there, the most valuable piece. Like, this set was, like, it's vintage. It was from so long ago that I thought, well, now that there's no point in selling this for $300, I'll put it up for auction and maybe people will buy it just for the box. You know, I've bought and sold toys before and buyers want to buy it just for the box. And I thought maybe Thomas is the same. So I put it up for a $24.95 starting bid. It had some decent bids to start with. Like, I think it had a bid within the first, you know, couple of minutes. I'm thinking, oh shit, here we go, like, we're gonna have a high sale price for this thing. But at the end of the day, it is sold for $28.05. We didn't have that dopamine hit of a shit ton of bids at the last second. I love that with auctions, it's so exciting. But yeah, it turns out Thomas collectors just don't care about boxes, and I think I'm done with Thomas the Tank Engine, man. Like, it is it's a category that a lot of people are finding in thrift stores, I guess, because there's just so much out there and most of it's crap, some of it's good, and it just doesn't do anything for me. It's so boring. It's just so fucking boring. I might find, if I find something for like a dollar that I can sell for 100 or so, maybe, but yeah, I'm just done with the category. I'm just done with Thomas the Tank Engine. And, you know, after that auction, after cost of goods, after eBay fees, after shipping, I'm left with a grand total profit of -$6.82. I think that is the most money I've lost on a item that I've bought and sold, like, this year, maybe my entire life. Just very embarrassing. But I guess that's the Facebook Marketplace, right? Like, what can you do? Somebody can just say, you know, it's all there, and you take it home and it's not all there. They just block you. And what are you going to do? You're going to rock back up and knock on their door saying, give me fucking Thomas? It's not going to happen. So you just got to eat that cost. And it provided a bit of entertainment for the week, checking out the auction. But yeah, you can stop laughing now, because we're going to move on to something that hopefully inspires you and shows you that I'm not fucking completely useless at flipping items. We have $17 into $350. It's the Court of Thorns and Roses books, number 2, 3, and 4. They have sold on eBay. I had them listed up for $400. They were hardcovers. They had the dust jacket, original covers, first editions. I think two of them were first prints. The subject of last week's, well, the primary subject of last week's podcast and newsletter. These things were out the door quickly, like $17 into $350. I taught you last week, or I gave you the tools to learn how to spot first editions, how to spot first prints. There's an article up on Flip Weekly with examples. This is just a good series to find. It was, yeah, book 2, 3, and 4. Funny thing is, I actually found book 5 in a different thrift store this week. I think like the day after I sold these, and It was also a first edition, worth about like $80. If I had locked, if I was able to find it like a day or two before selling this lot, I would have been able to maybe ask for $500 or keep it, try and find the first book and sell for like $1,000. But not to worry, it's out the door within, what is it, like within an issue, of Flip Weekly. Three books, $350, insane. While I'm talking about these books, I have to apologize for last week's Flip Weekly After Dark, the very first time I've ever done that segment, the very last time I'll ever do that segment. It was so embarrassing reading out some of the text from the book, Court of Mist and Fury, not because the book was embarrassing or weird, more so that I made it embarrassing and weird. If you didn't listen, thank fuck for that. But yeah, if you want to brush up on your knowledge on spotting first edition books, go on flipweekly.com. There's that published article. It has pictures. It has real life examples. It has, you know, fucking arrows pointing to things. So if you're a visual learner, it's definitely going to help you out. We love sales where we talk about it in what I bought and then we go straight down to what I sold and it's out the door. That X-Men animated series is out the door for $150. So we've gone to a thrift store, we've picked up the three DVDs for $1.5, we've sold them on eBay for $1.50. We've added a zero onto the sale price. Like, DVDs, man, I think they're being slept on. If you're not looking there, then you're missing out on a lot of money. And, you know, this was made in 1997. It's a 90s kid show. It's nostalgic. I go through 100+ nostalgic 90s kid shows and their value on eBay at the end of this podcast, just after Secondhand Opinions. So stick around for that. There's a lot of value there. Like, if you think X-Men for $150 is a lot, just wait until there's another one where you add a zero onto that. So much fucking money, so much money to be made with these DVDs. And, you know, DVDs are not that exciting for some people. The next item also might not be that exciting for some people, but I'm going to make it exciting. I'm going to tell you. It's a signed book from a journalist in Australia called Liz Hayes. Somebody check on the health of Liz Hayes for me, but it's gone off to the UK. Now, I thought this might have sold because of a documentary that came out, both on Channel 9 and on Netflix. The documentary was about this girl called Belle Gibson, and it was called on Channel 9, Dangerous Lies, Unmasking Belle Gibson. And there's a Netflix version of it too, which is not so much a documentary, but I think it's like a drama series about it. Now, Belle Gibson lied about having cancer, and she profited from it. She created an app called, it's called like the Wellness Pantry, or it has one of those, you know, like pseudoscience-y names. And Belle Gibson was found out to be lying about cancer. And she did this sit-down interview with somebody who I thought was Liz Hayes. That's why I thought this book was bought. Turns out the expose was led by someone named Tara Brown, not Liz Hayes. But I already wrote out a story about seeing Liz Hayes doing that interview, only to realize later on it was Tara. But I'm going to tell you about it anyway. So this is a quick side story about Tara Brown's interview with Belle Gibson. So if you jump back to 2015, I'm, you know, hyper aware of news and current affair here in Australia, more so than I'd ever been before. And I'm seeing morons on TV. I'm seeing them on social media. It's in newspapers. Impossible to get away from them. And I'm thinking that I want to point out these people and put them on blast somehow. I'm trying to think, how can I do that? Now, cut to who I thought was Liz Hayes, but it's actually me watching Tara Brown interviewing Belle, and Belle is making an absolute fool out of herself on TV. She's lying about the cancer, and it's time to call her out. If you haven't watched that interview, I highly recommend it. So I created a website. It's called, and if you have children in the car, maybe just like pause it right now. It was called dickpicoftheweek.com. I know what you're thinking, but it's not like that. The idea behind it was pretty simple. I was going to sum up the news every Friday by turning whatever the topic is into a fully like illustrated dick pic. Pretty fucking ridiculous, right? So Belle Gibson at the time, all over the news, I thought she was going to be the perfect candidate. And almost exactly 10 years ago to this day, Belle Gibson was immortalized as an illustrated penis pink turtleneck and all on dickpicoftheweek.com. Now, I've linked the illustration of that within the Flip Weekly newsletter. Jump on there if you want to see Belle Gibson as a, but if you don't want to do that, just picture like that drawing scene in Superbad. It's sort of, it's virtually that, right? But the funniest thing was doing an interview with Slate. I talked with them for one reason or the other, and they asked me about my background, right? And they printed something that I thought was absolutely hilarious. This is a paragraph printed in a magazine that covers current affairs, politics, and culture. And they've printed this, and I quote, "He told Slate.com," meaning me, "he told Slate.com he operates alone, has never been to university, but has worked on websites, including DickPicOfTheWeek.com." That is immortalized forever on a magazine that covers current affairs and politics. They've actually mentioned DickPicOfTheWeek.com. They've also put in brackets, "viewer discretion advised." Like, seeing that printed, that just made me laugh so hard. But, you know, that was 10 years ago. But let's move on, because none of that really has anything to do with reselling. It has nothing to do with the sale. It has nothing to do with even Liz Hayes. It was just my mistake for switching two reporters around. But it was an excuse to link to Illustrated Dicks and to talk about Dick Pics of the Week. A website that doesn't exist anymore. Don't try and go on the website. I think it redirects to some sort of gambling website. Now, we have a few other sales. The jersey that I talked about has gone on to sell. It sold on Facebook Marketplace for $150. That was great. Somebody came, paid cash. They had just come back from Hong Kong and they wanted this jersey, so that was great. We have a Fifi and the Flower Tots play set. I found in Savers for $4.50 and it sold for $99.95. And the person that bought that was based in Kuwait, so they paid an additional like $40 on top of postage. So Fifi and the Flower Tots, if you ever see that as a toy out in the wild, pick it up, especially the playsets. The DVDs, no. The playsets, yes. I'd never heard of this, but it was a British kids animated TV show. Not 90s, though. A bit later. But yeah, that was a good sale. I don't know how Savers passed over that. I bought it a decent time ago. And the other thing that sold was this 2008 Fisher-Price Loving Family playset. It's basically dollhouse furniture. That was picked up for $4 in a Vinnie's and that sold for $94.95. So we have a lot of sales. Then we have a few more that I'm not going to get into. We have like $150 books. We have some other shit that's mentioned on the Flip Weekly newsletter if you want to check them out, including photos. But we're going to move on. We're going to talk about secondhand opinions and we're going to talk about nostalgic 90s kids TV shows. Now, last week I asked you in secondhand opinions something I thought was going to be a bit, 50-50, but it turned out to be completely one-sided. If you're not familiar with secondhand opinions, it's basically I'll ask you a question, sort of controversial, or at least I try to make it a bit. I present my argument, it's usually poorly thought out, and you provide your own, whether or not you vote in the poll on flipweekly.com, or you write in, you contact us on social media, just give us your thoughts. But yeah, last week I asked you, is it wrong to cancel an order and relist the item at a higher price if it sells too quickly? Now, it's an almost unanimous result, which was surprising. Yes, it's wrong, one with 92%. So a decisive victory for yes, it's wrong. I think it's good to see that majority are in agreement. I guess it's the 1% out there that are canceling orders and relisting. But to be fair, I don't think that 1% is really doing it for like malicious reasons. I think it usually comes with inexperience. I think most experienced eBay sellers would chalk it up to like an oh no moment and they'll, move on, which is usually what I'd do if it happens to me. If you're lucky enough to have an item sell almost instantly. But yeah, this week's topic is because I saw this thing on Reddit, and it was at a shopping center in Sydney, and it had people lining up over multiple levels of the shopping centre for Labubus. Now, these are questionably the Beanie Babies of 2025. They're plush toys. They're in such high demand. You can see them on people's backpacks and pockets with, you know, the keychains. High demand, yeah, in store and on eBay. The sell-through rate on eBay right now is like 200%, something like that. And the prices of these things, these ugly fucking things, sell for can go insanely high. And the way people buy these things are within blind boxes, and they're boxes where you don't really know what's inside. You open it up, it could be a rare one. You can resell it online for a profit. But yeah, this didn't really start, like, this lining up for items, like the trendy item at the time, didn't start in 2025. People have been doing it for years. They did it with Apple products, which begs the question. The question I'm asking you this week is, do you or have you ever camped out at a retail store for an in-demand item to resell on eBay? I would love to know it. First of all, I'd love to know if there's any money in doing it. I couldn't imagine there would be. Usually when you're buying these in-demand items, they have like a maximum quantity per person. It's like when you go to a show and they're like, oh, Matt, you can only take 4 beers. You're like, what the fuck? Give me a few more. But yeah, the lineup in the Sydney shopping center was like, it was almost out the door, and it started like right at the top. So these fucking Labubus are such a huge craze at the moment, and I think people would be reselling them. I'd love to know if anybody that listens to this or reads the Flip Weekly newsletter is reselling Labubus. I think it would be hard though, because you're gambling with the blind boxes, right? Like, it would be hard to resell something where you don't even know what you're getting. It's gambling. It's like what I did with the Facebook Marketplace with Thomas the Tank Engine, except it would be like if you didn't know what the item was, right? Like, it could be junk, or it could be like expensive junk that people would pay money for, which is all that Labubus are. I don't care if you like them. It's just unusual for me to see such a craze with these fucking things. But yeah, that's secondhand opinions for this week. Let me know. Write in. Fill in the poll. Send me a text on social media. Send me a text. Is that like the fucking oldest thing you've ever heard? Send me a text on Instagram. Send me a text on 04. No, don't. So yeah, what do you think? All right, now it is time to talk about something that I was really excited to get to. And good Lord, did it take me a long fucking time. We're going to talk about nostalgic 90s kids TV shows and what they're worth in terms of eBay value. Now, I'm not going to get into the scraping process. I'm not going to talk about IMDb firewall, like locking me out of the website, or the manual data entry process, which was a headache. Instead, I'm going to let you enjoy the compilation I've created. So if you're around my age, you grew up in the 90s, and when you weren't watching Rage, when you were watching like Cheese TV, right? Cheese TV. Now, if you're lucky, you might have been watching Fox 8, if you had Foxtel, if you're one of those lucky kids with Foxtel. But look, cartoons and sitcoms, they reigned supreme. The television shows were like insanely quotable. They're still quotable to this day. They were relatable, relevant, and better than anything that's on TV at the moment. Now, that doesn't mean that they're worth money. I can't tell you how many times I've gone into a thrift store or, you know, gone to a garage sale and spotted like this nostalgic 90s kid show, and I thought, you know, I found a home run. But the reality is that many of these shows, they were either over manufactured or the demand just isn't there. Now, with that said, I did this list, and it's not so much a list as it is a fucking interactive table, an interactive comparison table. There's over 100 1990s kids shows. They're ranked exclusively by their eBay value. Now, I analyzed the sell-through rates. I did the average sale prices for the complete sets. I wrote notes for every single fucking show. Heck, there's even links to like important scenes within the show. And if you want a tearjerker, go to Franklin and look at that linked YouTube video. It might fucking make you cry. Now, this is the ultimate. I mean, it really is the only nostalgic 90s kids TV show ranked by eBay value interactive comparison table. It's 100% free, of course. You can check it out on the Flip Weekly website. It's exclusive to you guys. You need to take a look. You need to memorize the valuable shows. You need to disregard the cheap ones. And you need to make some money using this data, because data is fucking king. Now, you know, I'm not going to go through all like 100 plus shows. I'm going to let you do that. Go on to flipweekly.com. Hover over the resources tab, or if you're on mobile, click resources tab and click on the 100 nostalgic 90s kids TV shows, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to just go through a couple. I'm going to talk about the ones that are sort of unfortunate that you should leave behind. I'm going to talk about the ones that are going to be like BOLO winners, like you be on the lookout winners. So the first one that you should leave behind, and it's so sad to say, it's Cat Dog. You know, Cat Dog, alone in the world is a little cat dog. I think that's how it goes. That Man was a Nickelodeon staple. That was a favorite of mine, favorite of my sister's. Like, it was such a good show, personal favorite. But sadly, man, the complete series, it's barely worth $30. It's too popular. It's too popular. It's too mass produced. And it's something you need to leave behind. If you see it in a thrift store, you might think of picking it up, but I would recommend leaving it behind. Just before I go any further, a quick note that when I was doing this research, when I was collating this table, all of the prices are in Aussie dollars. All of the prices are accurate as of, like, you know, today, the date of publishing. All the prices are for the complete series, and I've excluded like limited edition box sets or special editions, anything like that. All the prices are averaged when applicable, and it's only meant as a guide only. It's not financial advice. Just, we're being real here, okay? And of course, it's eBay Australia. I'm based in Australia, so it's eBay Australia. Who knows? You might be able to sell Cat Dog in like Guatemala or some bullshit for a lot of money. I didn't even think I said a real country just then, but yeah, just know that. So after Cat Dog, another one that you're going to leave behind is the Magic School Bus. Man, it was always a favorite of mine, mostly because it was only put on when, you know, you're in school and the teacher wheels in that fucking television on the cart. But yeah, the complete series, it barely sells. It's going to be something you leave behind. And again, another note, I want to find DVDs that are worth a lot of money. I don't want to really be turning like $2 into $20. If that's your thing, then you're going to be picking up a lot of these DVDs, but I want to be buying DVDs itself for a lot of money. You know, like the X-Men that we picked up, 15 into 200, like those sort of returns are what I'm after. So with that said, the next one you're going to be leaving behind is The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Now, Will Smith, man, he's floundering in that DVD market. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is not something you should be picking up. I don't want to say too much because I feel like he's just going to pop up and give me a slap in the face. So those are three you should leave behind. I'm going to tell you three that you should not leave behind. These are your glorious BOLO winners. The first, I think 90s kids' favorite shows. Produced careers out of so many people. The Amanda Show. Man, The Amanda Show when I was younger was top tier sketch comedy. I don't know what's happened with Amanda Bynes right now, but that show back in the 90s was gold. She was like such a good comedian at a young age. And the price of this television show today in 2025, I wish like I could explain to you how much it blew my mind as I was doing this comparison table. Like, you know, I'm going through, you know, shows like Doug. I'm going through shows like Avatar, Superman, Street Sharks. And then I find The Amanda Show. And the show went for ages, but three seasons. Yes, three seasons have sold on eBay for $1,600. If you see this in the wild and pass on it, you are going to have a miserable life because you'll always be thinking, I should have bought those fucking DVDs. If you see anything Amanda Show, you need to be picking it up. It seems to be extremely rare, and yet it sells every single time somebody lists it on eBay. The other BOLO winner is a show that ran for multiple seasons. But if you find just four, you can get over $200. And that is the show Arthur. It ran for years, man. Can you imagine if you somehow found them all? Just four seasons can get you over $200. It ran for 25 seasons, by the way. I just looked it up. And that price is just for four seasons. Like, Did they make all 25 seasons? You tell me. But if you find all 25, are you gonna get a fucking deposit on a house in rural where? Definitely not rural New South Wales. Probably not anywhere rural in Australia, but you'd be able to get a lot of money. And the other Bolo, a show that I hadn't even heard of, but it's called Sagwa, the Chinese Siamese Cat. Now, I wasn't a cat person until I saw this. And what I like about this show is it only ran for one season. One season. That means one DVD. That means one low shipping price. The insane demand for this is astronomical. And you know how much you can get for one season of Sagwa, the Chinese Siamese Cat? $750 just for that DVD. If you find this in a thrift store for $2, you need to tag me in it because you are absolutely welcome for that. Now, that is just six television shows, six nostalgic 90s kids TV shows. This interactive comparison table, what I'm calling it, just so it makes my long, hard work sounds better than just saying, like, put a couple of TV shows and listed their values. That's just six of them. There is over 100 in that table. If you think I've missed something, hit me up. But yeah, there is so much data available in this page, on this webpage, and data is king. If you know the values of this stuff, it means that it just makes your life easier when you're going to thrift stores. You know, you go into a thrift store and you see Cat Dog and you think, yes, this is like old, from 1998. You think it's a classic, but no, too many had been printed, worth $30. Same for things like fucking Madeline, Doug, Mr. Bean. These are all television shows that you'd think would be worth money, but they don't even crack like the $30 market. These are just low priced items. So yeah, you need to be looking at this data and you need to be memorizing it. Even if you sort the table by highs first and you just remember the top, you know, top five, top 10, the table shows you, the table allows you to do that. So go on flipweekly.com, check out this table. If you see anything I've missed, let me know. I want to be doing a lot more of this sort of stuff, just providing some sort of value to you guys, just for tuning in and just for listening to the podcast and reading the newsletter. Just a thank you to you. And with this data in our brains, we'll be able to clean up at the thrift stores a bit more efficiently. Now, what do you know? That is it for Flip Weekly this week. Make sure you follow us on social media, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. If I get kicked out of a Salvo's, if I get banned from a Salvo's, I'll make sure I film it, record it, put it on social media for your enjoyment. Make sure you subscribe to the newsletter. You'll be able to see the infamous Bell Gibson dick pic, complete with the fucking turtleneck and all. And you'll also be able to participate in secondhand opinions. The poll is what I'm interested in. I want to hear your thoughts on secondhand opinions. You can also write in about that topic for the week. And make sure you go to flipweekly.com for all the resources. I've talked to you about them this week. They're the 90s television shows. They're the fucking how to spot a first edition book. Man, it's just filled with free information that a lot of other influencers / content creators would charge you for. Don't forget, next week we have the auction that's ending with the Foot Rot Flats jigsaw puzzles. I don't know what that's going to end up with, but it was fun setting it as a 99 cent starting bid with free postage. Rate and review this podcast, and what do you know? That's about it. I'll see you again next week. Thanks for listening.
Flip, 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 flip,